and come and grab a seat. We'll get started here. The longer you take, the longer I get to preach. And it's a sunny day out. We're talking today about how God wants our time. And this is it. Ooh, that worked pretty good. I guess everybody does want to go home and go out and play in the sun. All right. So if you've been around, we're doing a three-week series on loving God with all of our heart, soul, and might. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, and might. And it sounds fairly simple and easy, straightforward, but what does that really mean? And what does that look like lived out in our lives? And we realize it's not quite as easy as what we might think it would be. So this is the wrap-up to that today. So three-week series wrapping up. That's quicker than most of David's series on Hebrews and other books. So, but I only had like six verses. So in his defense, I'll give him that. All right, so we are going to read quick to start with. We're going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It'll be up on the screen if you need to.
Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word and for your truth, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we wrap up this series today, Father, that you would just continue to speak to us. Thank you for the ways you have already spoken to me and to others, Lord, and for how your spirit has moved through this, Lord. And I just pray that you would continue that today, Father. Be glorified, Father, as we read your word, that you would just draw us to you to see the beauty and glory of who you are, Lord, that we would give you all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, Lord God, because we do love you, Lord. Open our eyes to see your beauty and glory, Lord. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is speaking to us today, Father. Mold us and shape us and continue to change us, Lord, more and more into your image, that you might be more glorified in us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we've been kind of working our way through this scripture, as you've seen, taking bits and pieces of it each week. Last week, we learned about the Hebrew word for love, how it's not just an emotional thing, but how it communicates that love is this deeper loyalty and commitment that extends even beyond just the emotions of love and includes the emotions of love, but it's the loyalty and the commitment that's part of it too, that's much deeper. So today we're looking at verses 6 and 7, or 6 through 9, and studying those out. And it's talking about how scripture is to be remembered, treasured, and shared. Jumping into verse 6 here, it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." On your heart, that means not just in your ears. You're not just hearing it. It's not just going in here and then just, okay, I heard, left, forgot about it, but I made it to church. I was there. I heard him. So, whoo, check off my box. That's not what it's talking about. Not just reading the Bible, but it enters into our heart. And as we learned and talked about, that means it affects our emotions. It affects our thoughts. It affects our choices and our very will, that we should value and treasure Scripture, not just read it, not just hear it. But man, soak it in, enjoy it. And then he goes on to say, "And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." See, it's not just supposed to go in our ears and into our heart, but it's supposed to go out of our mouth too. Not just in, but it's supposed to go out. And we're talking about, hey, fits right in, family devotions, leading our family. I mean, teach them to your children. That's talking about family devotion. So I encourage you guys, man, sign up for the class if that's something that God's spurring you on to. The men's retreat, we'll be talking about that some too, but family devotions, are you leading your family well? And then he's talking about sharing that with others as you sit and as you rise and as you walk. So it's talking about it with other people. So I challenge you, I mean, as a marriage family, I mean, in a married couple, do you guys talk about the Word of God? Are you sharing with your wife what God's speaking to you, what God's showing to you, what is revealing to you, what cool things God has spoken from your Word, from His Word? When you get together with others, are you is the Word in there? When you're together with other Christians, is the Word there? Are you talking about the things of God? Not the whole time. I mean, you can talk about fishing, you can talk about hunting, you can talk about whatever. But man, is the Word in there at all? Because it should be. It should be. What are we talking about? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. No, well, see, we're jumping into Hebrews again. So let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's talking about encouraging each other, speaking life to each other, not just casual conversation, but deeper than that, sharing about the things of God, encouraging, exhorting each other, encouraging each other to love God with all your heart, soul, and might, as we've been talking about. And then we see verses 8 through 9, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So he's talking about not just hearing, not just putting it in your heart, not just sharing it, but remembering it, that it would stick in there and stay in there when you need it the most, that it would be there. And so that's talking about being in the Scripture, not just once, but over and over and over again. If you've read the Bible, great, read it again. Whatever it is, read it again and again and again. Get into it. And we're talking about partly here Scripture memorization too. Memorize Scripture. Do it as a family devotional. I am horrible at Scripture memorization. I will be the first to confess that one. That's something I'd like to grow in too. But memorize Scripture that it would be always with you, always in your heart, especially when you need it most. Man, when temptation's coming, or when you're struggling, when you're discouraged, depressed, man, that those verses come into your head and you remember and like, and you can cling on to them. I wrote a verse and put it on my steering wheel that would just help me with my idle thoughts when I'm driving, so that verse is just there to always look at. The hard part is that when it's there for so long, you just kind of forget that it's there. So now I need to like something else in there, but so that we'd remember what it is. So that's what he's talking about in here, that this word that we're seeing in here, that we're hearing today, I pray that it would go to our hearts and that it would go out of our mouth to be shared with others and that we'd remember it. So the last few weeks, we've been talking about loving God with all of our heart, that God seeks to be on the throne of our emotions, our choices, our wills, our thoughts, our desires. That's what the heart is. And last week, we talked about loving God with all of our soul. That's all of my life, my existence, my very self, everything that I value most, giving that to God in love. And this week, we're going to be talking about loving God with all of our might. Loving God with all of our might. We have the next picture up there. This is a picture that Tracy took of me a few years ago. Why is everybody laughing? I don't know if I should be offended by that or not. Yeah, I had a bit more hair then that fell through onto my beard. And things change when you don't exercise. No, this is usually what we think about when we think of might. Honestly, I've been like lifting weights in the morning. Sometimes when I read the word too, and it's like, then I'll like stand, and I've been doing it for like a month or something. I'll stand in front of the mirror and be like, yeah, it's doing something. But the honest truth is, it's not. So far, I don't think it's done a thing. So it takes a lot of time and effort, I think, or maybe heavier weights. I don't know. 1 pound ones just don't do it. what does that have to do with it? Nothing. I mean, this is when we see bodybuilders, man, we see them give everything that they have. I mean, if you see the competitive ones or the World's Strongest Man, if you're into that, there's a dude on there called Magnus Magnuson. Look him up, man, that's just like the strongest name. I think he was just born super strong with that name. But they give everything that they have. I mean, you just see him, everything they exert and push into that to accomplish that goal, to lift that weight that they need to, everything that they have. And my big idea today, it's not just our strength. My big idea is that we love God with all of our heart, which means our time, our talents, and our treasures. Loving God with all of our might. So what is our might? What is our might? We'll get into that for a minute. So the Hebrew word for might literally talks about military strength. Military strength or power, basically. And what it is, I mean, there's a few different ways, a bunch of things that make this up. Essentially, it is our strength. I mean, it could be our physical strength, our mental strength, our emotional strength. It's our power, too. It's our energy. And it's our abilities, our skills and abilities that we have, too. And it's not just that, but it can also be, in the Hebrew, it can also signify our wealth or our possessions, our stuff, basically everything that we have. And what he's talking about, I mean, it's basically like if you're a sports fan, that's your stat line. I mean, it's how good you are, showing how good you are at one thing or another. It's all of this stuff wrapped up together, and it's our power and our ability and our strength, plus our wealth or our possessions. All that stuff sums up into our power to accomplish something. Basically, our ability to achieve, our ability to succeed. That is what our might is. So essentially what God is asking us is to love him with all the things that make us strong. All of our accomplishments, our success, our influence, our wisdom, our smarts about one thing or another. If we're smart about mechanics or smart about sports or smart about fishing or whatever it might be, that all of us, all of that wisdom, that we would devote all the resources of our mind and body and our possessions to loving God. That's what he's talking about in there. How are we using our energy and all the fruits of that? How are we using that to love God for his glory and for his honor? Essentially, again, it's our time, it's our talents and our treasures. And as we talked about last time, there is some, I mean, invariably there's some redundancy between heart and mind and soul, because again, God is putting in this vision of the whole being, loving God with our whole being, everything that we have, everything that we are, all that we are, giving to God in love. But God, again, did pick these three purposefully so that we could dive into them and see this love that we're supposed to have for God from all these different angles, how we're supposed to love him, how we're supposed to live that out. And when I think about loving God with our might, I think about how are we living out that love for God in our daily lives, both in private and in public, both when we're out there interacting with the world at our jobs, at our schools, at hanging out with other people, and what we're doing in our quiet time and our alone when nobody's watching. What are we doing in that time? Are we living out our faith every minute of every day and everything that we do? So the first one, I'm going to jump into all of these different resources that God gives us. And again, it's not exhaustive, but hitting the highlights. Are we loving God with the resource of our time? Are we loving God with the resource of our time? And I know it gets hammered a lot, but rightly so. Are we giving God time for devotions, for prayer, for worship, for reading his scripture? Are we doing that? Are we consistent in that? Or are we only doing it when it's convenient, when we have time for it? You see, I mean, all of us, if you're married, you make time for your wife. You should, to sit down with her and talk with her. My wife's been less than happy this week because when I should be sitting down with her, I'm working on my sermon. Thanks, David. No, I'm just kidding. It's all good. It's a choice. But are we making the time? I make the time for my wife to sit down and talk to her because it's important to me. It matters to me because I want that relationship. I value that relationship, and I need it. And if we're not making time for our wife, but for God, that shows that we don't value it like we should. It should be a red flag for our level of love. If you don't hang out with somebody you love, man, that should be like, maybe there's not really there a love there that it should be. And I think of it like this. I mean, in terms of reading the scripture, God wrote us this book basically about his love for us and a way for us to connect with him, not just in this life, but eternity, a way into him, to please him, to bring him joy, what delights him, his story basically, and our story in there with it. God has written that and given that to us. And how can I not read that if I say I love God? How can I not be in this book that he's given me, if I truly love God? So do it. This is always challenging to me. We will make time for what is important to us, what we love and what we value. We will make time for it. That's just a fact. We will make time for it. You see, we all have the same amount of time every day. It's just a matter of how we choose it, how we choose to use it, what we choose to do with it. Yes, it gets quiet in here then. It gets quiet for me too. Because when we say, a lot of people say, like, I don't have time for devotions, or I don't have time for life groups, or I don't have time to hang out with my kids, or something like that. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. What you're really actually saying is, I am choosing not to make that important. I am choosing not to make that important in my life. And that's convicting for me, and maybe for some of you guys too. That's challenging. But that's what we're saying, because all of us make choices every day with our time and how to use it. I mean, and what we're pursuing and what we're doing with it. Are we choosing to give it to God? And yes, other things we'll have to give sometimes to do that. Something that we value, something that's important to us. Maybe something, and probably something that's not bad. Maybe it's something that's good, but trade it in for something that's better. Make that time. If you have time for TV, for social media, video games, all those things like that, you certainly have time for devotions. Certainly have time for devotions, man. Enjoy the presence of God. And we'll talk more of that, about that in a minute too. And there's time to get involved. There's time to be plugged into church. We should be making time for that. Time for our families. Time to serve others. Time to love others. Encourage others. Time to work. And work when we need to. And I'm not bashing on TV or anything like that we never need to do those things, because there's always more things important. There is time for rest, and we need to value that and respect that and to take the time that we need to rest. But not more than that. All of us need a certain amount of time to rest. And man, we need to respect that, but take care of the rest too and not take more than we need to. We have to find that balance. I like Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we might get a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we might have a heart of wisdom. We all have the same amount of time in a day. But the older and older I get, the more and more I realize life is short and it passes quickly. And don't put off deepening your walk with God. Don't put off your family time. Don't put off the things that are important. Use that time wisely. Use it wisely. So are we willing with our time? Are we willing to surrender our day to God, to just lay all of our stuff, all of our schedule down before God and say, God, just shape it into what you would. Use it. How do you want me to spend this time? Do you want me to get up earlier to have my devotion time? Do you want me to take a break here to spend time with you? Do you want me to, how can I make time for what I should be doing that will give you glory, that will delight you, that will bring you pleasure? How can I do that? Are we willing to submit that to God? Say, God, do with it what you want. And then secondly, are we loving God with the resource of our treasure or our possessions? Are we loving God with those things, with the stuff that we have, money and stuff? And the first in this, are we making decisions, financial decisions, and purchases in prayer? Are we checking our motives? Before you go and buy something, I'm not talking to you go buy a candy bar, although maybe that would be a good one too. But before you go buy something significant, are you laying it before God in prayer and asking, God, should I be doing this? Is this the right thing? Is this what I should be pursuing? Man, we should be checking our motives before God. I remember we were doing an addition on our house a number of years back, and it was a good time to pray because it's like we're increasing our stuff. And is this the right thing to be doing? Why am I doing it? Am I doing it so, ooh, I can have a bigger house and look cool? So we were just submitting that before God and saying, God, what do you want us to do with that? And he spoke very clearly to us. He spoke to my wife and said, if you build it, they will come. And they have. And God spoke to us that he would use it for his glory, and he has. It's been a great spot for our life group. People have lived in up there. God's used it in awesome ways. So are we laying those things before God? Yet at the same time, you're on like, I'm on Facebook and buy, sell, trade here and there. And they're like, I could really use that. Ooh, that would be cool. That would be nice. But man, Do I need it? What is my motive? What's my heart in that? And then talking about, are we willing to give to God and to his purposes? We've been talking a little bit about tithing in church too. And just to hit on that for a minute, we're going to jump to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. 1-4, he says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. So the challenge is, are we giving, are we tithing only when it's convenient, when we have enough, when we've got plenty of this surplus? Are we willing to give even when it's a stretch, even when it's a struggle, even when it means we have to give up our coffee for the week or our gelato? Are we willing to give up everything if God asks us to, like he did the rich young ruler that we read about in the story? See, I hear people argue, I mean, there's no real good biblical precedence for a 10% tithe in the New Testament. But I'd argue back, well, there's a lot of biblical precedents to give everything, though. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of biblical precedents to give everything to God, so pick. No. But if we're not doing it, if we're not tithing, if we're not giving, why? What's your heart in it? What's God speaking to you in that? Why are you holding on to it? Are we willing to love God by investing in his kingdom, giving to missionaries that are out there too? Do we trust that if we do that, that God will provide for us? And maybe our quality of life will be a little bit less. Maybe indeed. Are we okay with that if that's what God's calling us to do? And just to throw it out in there too, this is God we're talking about. God doesn't need our money to build his church. He doesn't. That's the truth of it. God could do it however. He could just create money, a pile of it right here. Who knows? God could do anything he asks. But God chooses to do that. He chooses to ask us to tithe and to give to building up his kingdom. Why? Man, I realize that every time I click the button to submit my tithe, I realize why. Every time I feel that twinge in my heart that's like burning of the flesh, because I don't want to do that. Every time I do that, I realize why. Because God does it to test us and to challenge us, to break us from this greed and from this worldliness, and to use it for his glory, to get us into a heart of generosity and of giving. So are we willing to submit all of these things to God, all of our stuff to God, to look at every possession that we have and what are we doing with it? How can we use it for God's glory? I know guys with boats that take people out fishing to share the gospel with them. That's a great way to do it. Or out snow machining, or who knows? I mean, are we using it to serve others? How are we using it to build God's kingdom? Or is it just to build our kingdom? What's our motives? So then, are we loving God with our talents or our abilities and skill, what we're good at, the things that we're good at or have wisdom about? Are we loving God with those things? Not just using him for selfish gain, but for God's glory. You see, God gives us, all of us, gifts and energy so that we can give them back to him in service. Our life belongs to God. Our life belongs to God. Are you using your talents just to build up your kingdom or to build up God's kingdom? Are we saying, hey, what are we good at? What are we skilled at? What can we do? Are we going to use it to build up God's kingdom? I know David and Karen are playing pickleball so that they can reach out to people and be a light out there in the world. Way to use, hey, I've got energy. I can use that for God's kingdom. Seeing, okay, what can I do? How can I serve? How is God calling me to that? And then, are we loving God with our actions, with our obedience, with what we do? I want to take us to another simple scripture here. This is John 14:15. And it's a simple one. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pretty simple. Easy one to remember. Not quite an easy one to live always, but are we loving God with our obedience, with our actions? And that's knowing God's word. Again, it's being in the Bible, knowing what pleases God, and living that out in how we live and what we do, following what he asks us to do, even when it costs us, even when it's hard to do. Are we willing to love God then? When he asks us to give and it hurts, are we willing to be obedient? When we know we're right in an argument, but God wants us to make peace and to make peace with others, even if, when it hurts, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to obey, even when it's hard? And I want to spend a minute talking about the biggest drain of our life and the biggest struggle that we have. This is the biggest drain of our love for God and the biggest affront to loving him with all of our might is simply sin. It is. I mean, that's the biggest thing that will, again, drain our love for God. And that is the biggest counter to loving God with all of our might is sin. And I want to spend a minute on it because I just have this feeling that sometimes in Christian circles, the importance of holiness gets kind of watered down and missed because we think it's too legalistic. Oh, you don't want to just shove this people, be holy, be holy, be holy, because God's holy. And we think, I get that impression sometimes that, oh, we don't want to just shove it down people's throat. Because, I mean, there's this feeling out there that God's grace will cover us. God's grace will cover us. So it's okay. We shouldn't make such a big deal out of sin. And I want to jump to Romans in here because Paul knows that's coming. In Romans 6, 1 through 4, he says, what shall we say then? Or do we continue in sin so that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. So I think it's interesting. I mean, this can be used as an excuse for sin. Ah, God's grace will cover me. It's okay for a minute. And I've done that to excuse my own sin. But the very thing that we use to excuse it sometimes should be the very thing that condemns it the most. The beauty and the glory of God's grace. The beauty of God's grace that he forgives sinners, that he forgives this horrible affront to him, the creator of the universe. That God's mercy will cover us if we repent and turn to him and ask his forgiveness. That love that God has for us and that beauty that was shown on Christ on the cross to forgive us should be the very thing that drives us away from sin so that we would have no part of sin. I pray that it would be. Because I think any unchecked sin, leads to the downfall of so many Christians. I can't even begin to start naming all the ones that I know that have just, there's been a sin issue in there and they just refuse to give it up. And you see it destroy Christians. You see it cause churches to crumble. You see ministries fall because of unchecked sin. Because it gets ignored, glossed over. There's no focus on it, no accountability on it. And I pray that that wouldn't happen for me or for any of us. Whether it be anger or pornography or marriage issues or greed or pride. Yeah, whatever it might be, abuse, anything like that. And that's why we as a church strive to have these D groups out there, why the elders have accountability with each other, so that we would develop these deep and honest relationships. Again, so it's not just talking about fishing. It's not just talking about hunting. It's not just these casual conversations. There's these people that know us. They know our struggles. They know our sin issues. And there's this accountability there. There are people that are willing to ask us the hard questions, saying, how are you doing in this? So many things could be avoided if we had people willing to step in and ask us those hard questions. How are you doing in this? How are you doing in this? So that we would overcome those sins. And if we don't have a desire for an accountability for any sin issue in our life, it's just a lack of love for God. Because what we're saying is, I'm refusing to please you in this, God. I'm refusing to give up what makes you angry, what hurts you, because I'm going to cling to it. And that's the opposite of love. Sin kills that love relationship that we have with God faster than anything else will. So my prayer for me and for all of us is that we would be jealous over that relationship that we have with God, with this righteous jealousy, than anything that tries to interfere in that, that tries to jump in the way, any sin issue that we're struggling with, man, we wouldn't take it lightly. we would be quick to ask God's forgiveness, to repent, to turn from that sin, to seek accountability. We would always be striving to overcome sin. Again, it's not like we just jumped to perfect holiness. It's this upward fight and battle, and it is a fight and a battle because we've got an enemy who's striving to suck us into sin. But my prayer is that we would always be fighting that upward battle and winning it, and not just growing lax, not relaxing. Because a passion for holiness is a passion for God. It's one of the greatest ways we can love God. So have a passion for holiness, because that is a love for God. So as we look to wrap up here, how are you using your time and talents and resources? How are you using your time, talents, and resources? We'll jump to 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything, all to the glory of God. Not just some things, not just Sunday morning, not just devotion time, not just a certain time of the week, everything. That's eating, that's sleeping, that's whatever we're doing, all to the glory of God. That we're submitting all of that to him. God, this is all my might. Use it for your glory. It's submitting everything to him, surrendering it to God. Are you willing to surrender all of your might to God? And that takes faith and that takes trust. Most of all, it takes love. Just, God, I love you so much. I'm willing to give it to you, Lord. I'm willing to give it to you. Surrender all of our money and stuff. What he asks of us, we will give. Our time and our talents, Lord, use them for your glory, to build up your kingdom, that you would be honored. In obedience to you, that I would walk in obedience. Are we willing to cut off the sin areas that we're clinging to? Get accountability and turn from them and walk away from God. Or walk away from sin, not God. Woo! This is where I need that. This is where I need that auto-preaching. We were talking about that before. You know, I have auto-tune that, like, cancels out bad things. They need auto-preach that, like, cancels out heresy as you go. So, yeah, there we go. That would have been handy. All right. Because there's no room, focus, people. There's no room in Christianity for half-hearted devotion, as we've been talking about. Christianity is an all-in deal. Again, we jump back to the verse we've been talking about. You shall love the Lord with all. Shall love him with all. Man, that's not a half-hearted devotion. That's a God's command. That is a normal Christian life, is all, everything to God, just giving it, surrendering it to him. And the cool thing is, I was thinking about this and praying about that this week. It is more blessed to give than receive. The more, and I think that applies to this too, the more we give up to God, the more we surrender to him, our heart and our mind, or our heart and our soul and our might, the more we give that to God, the more of him we receive. And it grows our relationship with him in awesome ways. And I was thinking about this, and God led me to a great example of this in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. This is Paul talking. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. So what's Paul giving us here? He's giving us his might. These are his stats, dude. Paul's giving us his might. This is all that I have. This is my might. This is my strength. This is who I am. And then we continue in it. But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. I love that verse. This is Paul training up. This is Paul giving his heart, and his soul and his might, just giving it to God. Why? Because what he gains is infinitely better, because he gains that relationship with Christ himself. And that's what we get to do, man. When we trade, it's a trading up. It's a trading up. Because what does Paul consider it garbage compared to the surpassing joy of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord? And the more we're willing to give up of that, the more we're willing to embrace that total devotion to God, the more of Christ we know and receive as our faith and our relationship with him deepens. And it's infinitely more valuable than anything we could ever be giving up. So I encourage you, make that trade. Continue making that trade day by day as we grow in our relationship with God. So the questions to ponder as we wrap up here. Am I using the time that God gives me each day wisely? Am I laying it before him? And I encourage you, do that. Lay it before God. If you're struggling with your devotions, lay it before God. How can I change this? What can I do differently? And then get some accountability to do it. Do my possessions own me, or do I own them? Do they belong to God for his glory, whatever they, wherever they are, our money, our stuff? Are we willing to give it to God to use it as he would? And what sin areas am I clinging to that I need to give up out of love for God? What am I clinging to that God's saying, let go of, because I'm so much better than that? That's draining our love for God. And where am I holding back on complete devotion and my love for God? What do we need to be like Paul at to give up so that we might know Christ even more in a deeper way? What is that? So if I could call up the worship team and the prayer teams and those serving communion, we're going to jump into communion now. This is the beauty of it. I mean, this again, we're trading up in all of this because we get Christ. We get Christ and the beauty and glory of who he is. And if we partake of communion, that's how we remember his love for us. Because the Bible says we love because he first loved us. And he showed that the best on the cross. When all of our sins that we were talking about here were piled up, all of our sins are piled up before this holy, awesome God and are affront to him. Yet instead of punishing us as we deserve, he took that punishment upon himself. His body was broken for us, and that's the bread that we partake of. His blood was shed for us. That's the fruit of the vine that we get to partake of. He took all that because of his love for us, so that we would be freed from sin, so that we could be freed to embrace him wholeheartedly with all of our devotion, with everything that we have. And our future, and because he rose again after that, our future in him is life and life in abundance. So I encourage you, as you partake of communion this morning, man, use it as a time just to renew your faith in him, renew your devotion in him, recognizing that he alone is worthy of all of our devotion. So let's give it to him as we partake of communion.